Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to My Mom. I never listen.
I mean, I have one favorite football coach in the entire world, and here he is right here, Dave Doran at NC State. He's my coach. He could be your coach, but Coach, I'm so blessed that you would take the time to do this with us, so thank you. And I wish Sarah, I should have thought about asking Sarah to come with us, because she's as equally as important of your success as anyone else around. Thank you for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, and thanks for your kind words. And Sarah's busy today. She's working in the community, so she would have bowed out, but I'm sure she would have gracefully declined. She does not like being on things like this, so it's not her bag.
Well, I can't tell you how welcome I feel every time I'm at practice, at a game, standing on the sidelines, always trying to get a quick glimpse at, you know, like, hey, just so you see, I'm here. You know, I love that you give me full access. I've even sat in team meetings. I learned so much about organizational leadership from you, just watching how you operate. It's really fascinating. How do you do it?
Well, you know, being a coach is being a teacher. And one of the things that I still love about this job is leading young people and organizing the staff, creating chemistry. And the challenge of creating chemistry these days is even harder. And so I like a good challenge. But, you know, leading men is why I coach football. I love it. And being in the team meeting is, for a head coach, is like your meeting room, right? It's the only time you really get the guys. You don't have the position coach individual meetings that they get. So I look forward to that opportunity to get up and teach the game, teach life, to mentor, to teach accountability and values. And so, yeah, you're getting to see the insides of it.
Yeah.
And some days those are brighter meetings than other days, right? You know, so football is an emotional sport, passionate sport. There's a lot of roller coaster rides emotionally through it. And, you know, you try to be in there with them and ride it with them.
I don't understand all the vernacular that comes with it, but I'm always trying to learn. But I'm fascinated by the communication through body language, right? The way you speak, how you approach different topics with your team, how they respond to you. I mean, it's an all-in experience. Like, there's everybody's paying attention. It's really cool how you can galvanize all those guys for a common cause. You said there's some new challenges, right, with chemistry. How have you been able to adapt?
Yeah, you know, you learn by doing. I think the portal has become a resource for positional need on rosters, and some people use it more than others. I feel like there's some years we've really hit the jackpot in the portal. We've gotten the right guys that fit the needs, fit the culture of the team. Their DNA is the same as our DNA when it comes to work ethic and how we look at being on a team and being a good teammate. And then there's been times where we failed, you know, and brought a guy in that just didn't fit. And it was a tough experience for both parties, you know. And so I think how you recruit these guys and how much, you know, legwork goes into it, how much you try to find out how many is too many. You know, in our case, I feel like we're still building our football team through high school players and developing them and allowing them to spend time here and grow up as young people. And, you know, the longer you're at a place, the more that place means to you, in my opinion. And their blood is in the bricks, I say, you know, when they're here for a while, it's their university, it's their school. And so I still believe in that as how we build our team. But with, you know, the increased, loss of talent that you have at times when players leave your team, you have to be able to replace it as well so that you're competitive. So it's been a learning process. For me, it's just about being open to change. You know, you have to accept the fact that sports has changed. College sports has changed more in the last 5 years than the last 50. And if you want to be successful, you have to be open to that. And you have to be willing to admit when you're wrong and, hey, we screwed this one up. Let's learn from it. Let's try to do it better the next time and have a staff that, you know, gets their ego out of it and wants what's best for the program when they're recruiting. And so, you know, it's been a process, Debbie, and we're still learning, you know, we're still trying to get better. This year, I feel like we've been a lot better than we were the year before because of, you know, the success and the failure that we had in it.
I often look at the landscape of college sports and I think about people that bounce from one place to another and never really dig their roots in and what they're going to feel like 20 years from now when, like you said, the blood is in the bricks. Like, they're going to be able to come back to NC State and know this is their home. They're going to be welcomed back to NC State. Anybody that played that really dug in and competed. And I know from knowing you, you know, if you work hard and you go to class and you're a good community citizen, then you're going to have success at NC State because you're going to prepare them for everything they need on and off the field. It seems like it's such a simple formula, but why is it so hard to sell today?
Well, I think greed. You know, I think obviously in the business world, it's been present forever and since time began. And now it's made its way into the locker rooms of college sports. And so, you know, people are always looking for the next thing, the next best thing. And that's human nature, I think. You know, for me, there's been plenty of opportunities to leave here as a coach. And I just look at the value of not moving my family, the value of where I live, how well I fit in this town, how well I fit in at this university. And there's value in that. You know, I think some people think of value as dollar signs, and don't get me wrong, that does matter. But there's also value that you can't buy, you know, in quality of life and your personal happiness and your wife's happiness, your son's happiness, your daughter's happiness, you know. And so for us, we made those decisions, you know, years ago when we had those opportunities. Just, you know, let's just stay put. Let's stay here and see what we can do and try to make this our program, you know, try to make it a legacy program for us and embed ourselves in the community, embed ourselves at the university and the educational side with the program we started and mm-hmm. and to, you know, have a place that we can say we made a difference. That was our path. And we try to teach that, you know, to these guys now. And that word value gets thrown around a lot now in recruiting through these agents. You know, hey, you're not valued enough. And they're talking about dollar signs when they say that. And it's easy when you're 53 to explain to them that money doesn't make you happy. And in some cases, it makes you pretty unhappy. The happiest I've been as a coach, oddly enough, is some of the jobs where I had the least amount of money. You know, at Montana, I was making $12,000 a year my first year, and we went to the national championship and had so much fun, you know, coaching that year. And I'm still close with those players. And so, you know, the value I think about is, you know, the value you have to the creator, to your, you know, to God, the value you have to your spouse, the value you have to your friends, your family, and obviously as coaches to our players and our community. And those are things that a bigger bank account doesn't get you. You know, it doesn't. You know, I've got a lot of friends, unfortunately, that have, you know, had failed marriages and, you know, that maybe they don't have the friend group or the faith group because they're moving every 2 years, you know. And so I think when you stick it around somewhere, you just, man, that investment that you have from a personal side creates a lot of happiness in your life.
All you have to do is spend 10 minutes with you, Dave, to see all the things you just described about your faith and your family. It's all over you because it's who you are. It's transparent. And it's transparent in the meeting room or on the field. I see it when I watch you in different aspects of your job. You have a lot of responsibility. And I love that you start with your guys first, you know, your family, but also your players. You know, those guys are lucky to be at NC State to play for you and to know that they have all the resource to be successful and that they have somebody who inherently will care about them long term, like your Montana guys. I mean, not all players can say that today. And I think that's a real miss for our future leaders is to be around people that, you know, are going to make you better. Now, the tough love comes with it. There's no question about it. As parents, we know that. But I want to talk about making a difference with you because I'm going to try not to get too emotional about this because this fundraiser has united us as friends forever, because we share in our families some differences, but some similarities in the way with our three boys, your three boys, your son Jacob, our son Frankie, and how that has rallied our families around trying to make a difference for other families. So it's not about the amount of money, it's about the experience and opportunity that we are trying to help others have, like we've had. And Sarah is a big part, your wife, of One Pack Empowered, your $1.25 million donation to NC State to create that program. Let's talk about that a little bit before we jump into Elevate, because I want everyone to know what our roles together have been in creating this for NC State.
Yeah, it's been a journey, you know, being a part of Jacob's journey from his diagnosis, you know, when he was young, to the IEP landscape of raising a young man, going to those meetings and hearing, you know, people talk about what he can do, what he can't do, what we should do to, you know, give him a chance in life. And the whole time, just, you know, probably one of my biggest regrets is I was too trusting in the process that, hey, these are the educators, they're trained to do this. Not that they failed our son, but I think the system failed a lot of people in that space, you know, because they were trained to do what they do. And, you know, as parents, sometimes we can do too much. And the helicopter parent thing is something I try not to be. But, you know, as Jacob started to be able to advocate for what he wanted, we realized that there's not enough help in this space for people that want more than they're telling them they can have. And along the way, we started to find those people that actually do that, you know, that donate their time, that have created programs along the way. And when you find individuals like we found at Lewisburg College in the Learning Partners program, it changed his life. And I was just like, this is a godsend, you know, to have someone. Cherry Askew was his learning specialist, and she was, I've said this a million times, she's like an angel that God sent into Jacob's life, and just blossomed as a student, and his confidence that he can be a college student and excelled. And then there were other students from that program that branched out to other schools. And so we, you know, quickly found out where he could go to college as a four-year student, and Appalachian State is where he ended up. And they have a program there, the As You Are program, that, again, just phenomenal people there that have helped Jacob and become now a grad student at Appalachian State. He's got one semester left after he finishes finals this week. And so, you know, that journey brought us into the fundraising part of it, because App State needs to privately raise money to keep their program afloat. And they asked us to be a donor in that program, which we did. And then I just, you know, turned to Sarah and said, you know what, it stinks that we're not donating to our own university to have this program. And I wonder why we don't. And it generated a conversation with Chancellor Woodson and myself about Jacob's journey and what I thought NC State should stand for in this space, and that we'd be willing to come alongside them and help, you know, in whatever way needed, financially, time, putting our face on it, whatever he thought was best to launch a program to help students in this space like Jacob if they wanted to go to NC State. And so he deserves a lot of credit. Chancellor Woodson did a phenomenal job of rallying a group that met with us about 6 months later with a plan, cost-effective plan, time and how long it would take to launch it. And then we came up with the dollar figure that we felt like we could handle and that would make this program work for 5 years, with the hope that it would then be a program they couldn't let go at NC State, and would either fund it themselves or find additional donors to keep it going. And we're now up to 42 students in the program, and it's gone from 15 to 30 to 42, and now there's a wait list, and it's really successful. I mean, the gentleman running it, Sydney Fletcher, is really good, and he's done a great job hiring staff. The support team around him at DASA has done a great job supporting him, and they have a tremendous space for the students to be there and study and get mentored and have a safe place where they can be advocated for and know that people are in their corner and that they can ask questions and get solutions. So it's been everything we hoped for and more. And obviously that's created this lane, you know, for Elevate, which I know you were a big part of, Debbie, with Chancellor Woodson.
Yes, I love sharing this part of the story. And I tell people this publicly because they should know how deeply you and Sarah care about NC State. When you and Sarah announced your gift to the university, because you and I had been talking about Elevate. Now, One Pack Empowered and Elevate are in a similar family, but they're totally different programs. One Pack Empowered is for students that need some executive coaching that might be high functioning on the autism spectrum, maybe diagnosed or undiagnosed, but just need some help with social skills or building resumes. I hope I'm describing that correctly, because Elevate is for students with intellectual disability that want a post-secondary educational college experience, like what my son Frankie had at Clemson.
Right.
So all of our conversation, everywhere I went on campus and all the lanes on campus that I had never been in before and probably wasn't supposed to be in, I always brought your name forward because I said, Dave Doran is already doing half the things that NC State has in place that would make this program successful. And I'm dropping your name everywhere I can.
After that was well received.
It was very well received because they knew that I was in, you know, that you and I were, you know, connected on this is, we're going to make this happen. 15
well, you know, it's the largest university in the state. It's also has the largest alumni network in the state.
Yes.
And what we found out in our research was there was already 500 plus students at NC State, either on the spectrum or that had learning needs, whether they were social or functioning. And I just knew from experience that those students were having a tough time, you know, because advocating is the biggest thing, you know, just the social piece, the social anxiety, the fear of failure, the unwillingness to speak in front of a group. And knowing how to do that. And then when you have a partner alongside of you that will sit with you and, you know, understands what you're going through, that can then help you learn how to do that and become an advocate, which now Jacob has no problem advocating for himself with professors, going to office hours. He knows when he needs help. He knows how to get help. He knows when to do it. And it's changed his life, you know, because before he would have just hid and not put himself in a position to, hey, I don't understand what you're saying, you know. So, yeah, this program is changing lives. And the coolest part about these things when you start them, it's you're helping people, obviously, but the information we get back from families who have eight-year-old children who are on the spectrum, and now their sons, because they're state fans, or their daughters, know that they can go to their parents' school, and they grew up, you know, with Mr. Exactly. and Mrs. Wolf posters on the wall, and they want to go to NC State, and now they know they can. It creates hope in their lives. And that's the thing that, you know, when Jacob was making his decisions to be a college student, there wasn't any hope. There wasn't programs that were advertised that you could find. And it was really difficult to even get a yes. Like, yeah, have your son apply. Like, it was more of, hey, he's going to be like everybody else. And like, well, he's not like everybody else. You know, he's going to need a little assistance. And so, you know, just creating hope in lives and hearing the parents' testimonials of their students that are here and how successful they are, and know that we brought that lane of opportunity to them has been really fun for us.
15 minutes after the announcement that NC State put out on you and Sarah's gift to the university, my phone was blowing up. That people were texting me, did you know Dave Doran was going to give over $1 million to NC State? And I was like, what? No, I didn't know that. And then 15 minutes after that, I get a text from you. And it was, Debbie, we're doesn't change what you and I have talked about for Elevate. This is something Sarah and I wanted to do for families like ours. We're still in, all in on helping create a program for my son, a program like my son, for families like mine. Right. And I was like, what a first-class move. Yeah, because of all the conversations that we had, and then for you to think about me at the time that you're celebrating this incredible, impactful gift to the university, It's the first class. It's like one of the first class things about Elevate that I like to share, because people need to know how invested you are in helping families. And, you know, my pitch to Chancellor Woodson was pretty simple. You know, NC State's a land grant university. The mission is to serve the population of the state. We're not doing it. We have think and, go and do all over campus. We're not doing it. We need to do it. And you're right about him and his leadership, because I think this is a big part of his legacy. One PAC empowered and Elevate, and forever across the state. We know the ripple effect, like you said, about an eight-year-old. It's going to change the way guidance counselors deliver information to families. It's going to require preparation at the high school and middle school levels that are different than they've had to prepare before. It's going to impact every single state or federal program that is in North Carolina to allow students and families like ours to have that hope and to believe that they can and have that experience. You know, final exams, as you mentioned, are happening around campus, and the seven Elevate students that are commuter students just finished their final exams on Friday. And I happened to speak to Dreana, one of the, you know, because they become fast friends, right? I mean, Dreana texts me and it's a final exam. And, you know, I just was so emotional thinking those kids just finished their first semester of college and no one ever thought they'd ever be able to go to NC State. But I asked her what was one of the highlights of this, of being in Elevate for the semester. Loves her classes. Loves being on campus, and Dave Doran coming to give us a t-shirt and a pair of shoes. They loved that you showed up in March for that big event to have the grand opening or the celebration of the program. Unfortunately, I couldn't be there for March Madness reasons, but she said that was one of the highlights. They loved it. They can't wait to tailgate, go to football games, move into the dorms in August. It's crazy good. Like, it's just so amazing.
Yeah, it was a fun event. You know, we were right in the middle of spring football, so I like sprinted from practice. I was just still in my coaching gear, but it was nice to be there. And obviously, because of Victory Day and what we do at Gigi's Playhouse, I've gotten to know some of the students that are in the Elevate, because they're part of that. A couple of them came up to me asking when Victory Day was again, because they want to do it. And so, yeah, it's cool. I mean, they're part of our program here. You know, if you come here on a Friday in season, we'll have several members of Gigi's Playhouse from the community there handing out candy or whatever to the guys leaving the field. And Sam Henning, we've hired in our building and dining services, and Anna. And so, you know, it's a day-to-day thing for our student athletes in football, at least, to integrate and be a part of that community with them and make them feel part of our community. And I think it's as good as it gets when you see those smiles. You know, for me, it's awesome. And you know, we think we're having a bad day, and you turn around and all the things they're dealing with, and they're the happiest group of people you've ever met. You know, they're smiling and laughing, cracking jokes. And I just love it. I mean, I love seeing them, having them around. And their enthusiasm for life is infectious. And so it's great partnering with, you know, whoever we can. But, you know, for me to show up to something for 5 minutes, knowing that it has an impact like that, is good to hear. Because sometimes when you're in your own skin, you don't think like that. You know, you got so many things to do. And, you know, the impact, obviously, when you're in your own skin, and same thing for you. You walk into a room, everybody's excited to see you, and you don't realize that until you get there sometimes. So It's good to hear that, you know, I was able to bring some joy over there that day. They were having fun, man. They were eating ice cream, and there was a lot of laughter. People were showing me how cool their shoes were and all that. It's great. Yeah.
They're great. They're fun to hang out with. I swear, people just don't know. It's really pretty simple. It's not that hard. Giving your football team an opportunity to experience what just that giving heart, like just a few minutes, just to walk past them and to know that, you know, giving is a skill. You have no idea how it's going to impact your guys moving forward. And, you know, we always think as parents, it's always about our kids. It's really not always about our kids. It's about everyone else. Yeah. And their experience and how they consume and how they see the world. When you see the world through our eyes as parents with kids with special abilities versus, you know, all kids have special abilities to me. I mean, you are focused. I will say that because I did come to practice and you were in the middle of the field and I had something to give you. It was an award that you and Sarah had received from the National Down Syndrome Congress. And this is how you are, Dave. This is how we are. I mean, like, I don't know if I could ever do this anywhere else. I literally ran out on the field while you were in the middle of practice, showed you the award and talked to you for a minute and then sprinted back off. But I don't know if there's anywhere else in the world I'd be able to do that and get away with it. It was really, I was like, yeah, just run out there and see Dave in the middle of practice, show him this award. And I'm so grateful for your time today. I'm grateful for how you represent. I'm grateful for what you've done in the special needs community. I'm so overwhelmed for NC State. It's such an important thing for our university.
Well, I appreciate it. And I'm just glad, that both of us are able to help this community in our ways and create hope and show service. I think it's such a great thing for all people to understand the value and giving things back to the community that you call home and helping those in the community have a better chance for success and to know that there's people there helping them. I think there's so much obstacle and there's so many no's, and there's so many people labeling and telling people what they can't do. And to have people out there like us and others that are helping in these causes saying, that's not true. You can do anything you want and here's how we're going to get you there. And this is the things you have to do. It takes hard work. It takes belief. It takes faith and it takes good people, and so I love what we're doing in this space and look forward to, seeing both these programs thrive and for those people listening and get involved, help us in any way you can, whether it's with time or with donation and obviously with prayer.
I love having this conversation with you. And next time we're together, we're going to discuss third and long, whether to go for it or not, and when we're going to blitz.
Third and short, maybe. Yeah.
Third and short, better conversation. Yes. Thank you, Coach Doran. Right. I really love that you would give us this time, especially on your busy schedule. Blessings to you and your family, and we'll look forward to seeing you. Year 7, we're over 1 million. We're going for the second million. Just going to keep shooting.
Thanks for all you do, Debbie. It's great seeing you, and go Pack.